Hey, everybody, welcome to the Friday Filibuster, and it is a big night in sports because I am, of course, talking about the Knicks are playing the Bucks in the season opener, which I'm sure everybody is excited for. But we are here to kill some of your time after a one-week sabbatical. We went out into the woods and got the whiteboard out, Mac, right? And we blocked off some of our podcast that we wanted in the future. Did a lot of show prep. I thought we got a lot of work done in that retreat.
Right. Yeah, we did the bottle test. It was great.
Did the bottle test. Some trust falls with Daryl, who always let us all fall. So I guess.
Of course I did. Why would you trust me?
Total
it's just really move. Your fault.
It was our move. Yeah, it was our fault. So, but we are, and then we repelled a few ancient demons, right? Eric decided to read out of the Book of the Dead for some reason. That was, as we kept telling him not to do it, but, you know.
It was the only book I brought. It was either that or Highlights for Kids.
I killed three animals with my teeth.
Gallant does not read the book made of human flesh. Okay. Well, anyway, so here we are. So you know what we're going to do. Kill some time. So Dave Johnson here, joined by Mac McIntyre.
I can do.
Daryl Loomis.
Hello, hello.
And Eric Asperschlager.
Hi there.
All right, so let's get right into it, kind of catch each other up on what's been happening. Mac, do you got anything to report?
Let's see. Well, by the time this airs, Scary Movie Month will be over. But I finally did it. I sat down and I watched all seven of the Saw movies for the first time.
Wow, did you just mainline them in one night, or how'd you do it?
I've been getting the discs from Netflix all month, so it's been like two a week.
Wow. And I think the biggest news is there that you are a Netflix DVD subscriber, then, correct?
Yeah. It's been a while now. I'm on the Netflix.
Nice. All right. So, having not seen a single Saw movie. Please report.
Oh, you've never seen them?
Go on.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's I guess the biggest selling point of the series is, one, the atmosphere. You know, they all take place in these sort of grimy industrial areas and really oppressive with, you know, shadows and all this sort of mechanical, rusted out mechanical gear. So it's that's definitely the big draw, I think, is just, you know, the overall aesthetic. And also there's a lot of continuity from movie to movie to movie, so it doesn't feel like, you know, oh great, another sequel. It's like one saga, one story, and that I liked. You know, I've complained on the podcast before about how the Halloween sequels, there's, you know, you cannot follow them all as one story. It's just a mess, and Saw hasn't degenerated into that quite so much. I mean, the plot twists are ridiculous, of course, but at least they maintain consistency. Among their ridiculousness.
So there's consistency, is there continuity?
I'd say so, yeah. It's ridiculous continuity, and it's over the top, but it is continuity.
So, yeah. Like, Saw 7 calls back to Saw 1?
Oh, does it.
Okay.
Wow, does it. Yes. Right. It does it in a big way.
So are they done with these Saw movies?
They say they are, but it looked to me like 7 was setting up part 8. So
yeah, they said they were done after 5 too. So, you know, it's one of those things. I think they said they were done with Hellraiser after 2, and there's 10 of them.
Yeah.
So I like the first one a lot, and I think they fall pretty significantly after that. I only watched through 4 because they fall into me so significantly that I just didn't care.
So they follow the Police Academy playbook then.
Yeah, but there's no Bobcat Goldthwait. Now, if 8 stars Bobcat Goldthwait, I will watch it.
Especially if he's
the sound of the word saw blade is just that guy who does the sound effects with his mouth.
Yeah,
that's Michael Winslow.
I like that.
But you know, we've been doing this podcast forever. I don't think we've ever really talked Police Academy as much as we should.
We should, absolutely.
Oh, that's the true, actually.
Yeah, I've got some strong Police Academy thoughts. particularly about Police Academy 3, which ends in a jet ski action scene where everyone just jet skis in a giant circle. I don't know if you noticed that. No, I'll just leave that be. Okay, so
is 3 Citizens on Patrol?
No, 3 is... 3 is... 2 is their first assignment where Bobcat is introduced.
He's a criminal in that, right?
Yes. 3 is, Police Academy 3, it's like, I can't remember the subtitle, but it's the new recruits one. So where he...
Back in training?
Back in training, yeah.
That's right.
Where Bobcat Goldthwait joins the police force after...
Because that makes a lot of sense.
after having his zoo fortress assaulted and, I guess, clearing raps for attempted homicide and larceny. So, yeah. So, okay. Enough of that. Mac, anything else?
That's pretty much it. That's kind of been my main thing for Scary Movie Month. I've said to myself, okay, I'm going to watch all the Saw movies and get it over with. Like, tearing off a Band-Aid. So I did it.
All right. Daryl.
So speaking of James Wan, and we've talked about this, Eric talked about this a couple of weeks ago, I finally sat down and watched The Conjuring.
Right.
And, you know, with that and Insidious, James Wan really knows his ghost movies. And it's not exactly a ghost movie, it's more of a possession movie, but it still basically works the same way, and it is a very strong picture. The thing that is probably most interesting to me is that for all the movies that have been made of their exploits, the Warren couple, Ed and Lorraine Warren, I don't believe have ever actually appeared in a movie before.
Right.
But they're main characters in this, and they're the people that did the Amityville Horror stuff. They were the people who did the stuff that became The Haunting in Connecticut. There's a bunch of them. But here they're characters, and I thought that was actually really interesting. It was a really well done movie, and a couple of jump scares actually worked on me pretty well.
So let me ask you this, because Juan has obviously been tagged to do, is it both Fast and the Furious movies? I'm guessing, right?
I've only seen he's doing the new, like Fast and Furious 7.
Okay, all right. So, not having seen any of his stuff, do you have confidence in Fast and the Furious 7 being pretty interesting with him behind the camera?
I have confidence that he's a strong director.
Yeah, okay.
Whether that means that he can do action, I don't think there's any indication of that, because really, to me, action and horror are almost opposite genres. Mm-hmm. Based on a simple principle that action movies are killing at a distance, and horror movies are killing up close.
Mm-hmm. Said action movie is from Indonesia, I might add.
Yes, and speaking of that, I recently rewatched The Raid Redemption.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
It is amazing.
It's not the first time I'd seen it. It's just been a year or so, and it's amazing.
True. I mean, I just want to check in to make sure
you're still
playing with us. Okay.
No, it's amazing.
The sequel's coming out soon.
Yeah, I saw that. But those stunts are so dangerous.
Oh, so dangerous.
And as a professional wrestling fan, you know, I've got to appreciate some of the falls these fools take to make this movie. It's just amazing.
Who do you think takes more physical abuse, the stuntmen for The Raid or the actual wrestlers in the WWE?
Well, the wrestlers in the WWE, et cetera, work like 280 days a year. So in any given moment, I think that the people in the Raid Redemption take more punishment. But if you take the long game on that, the wrestlers take way more.
Okay. Right.
So anyway, Conjuring, relatively high recommendation. I don't remember, Eric. What was your impression of that?
The Conjuring, I loved it. It really. Yeah. I think it's one of those things that I'm a little nervous to go back and revisit because I'm afraid it, you know, wouldn't have the same effect on me, especially now that I've seen Insidious, and they are very similar in some key ways.
Patrick Wilson notwithstanding.
Yeah, Patrick Wilson notwithstanding.
Remind you of Will Arnett? Like, it might as well be Will Arnett in that role. But anyway.
I would like to see Will Arnett as Night Owl.
They're similar, but I take that more to be that James Wan has a style that he's exploiting, and less that he's sort of revisiting old territory.
Yeah, I don't think that he's repeating himself necessarily, but there are definite like story setup and twists. Mm-hmm. Even if the particulars are different, there's still like the ghost hunter or expert or someone who comes in after stuff has started to go crazy and all that.
For sure. Although there's no ridiculous Netherworld in The Conjuring. So
no, there's its own ridiculousness, but that was a lot of fun. I saw that in the theater, and it did exactly what it was supposed to do to me.
Yeah.
All right. So why don't you segue to your stuff, Eric? Go ahead.
All right. Well, I've been watching a lot of stuff also for Scary Movie Month. Nothing I'm going to really point up here, although who knows, maybe something will pop into an ambush topic or something. But I will mention or talk about my latest Riff Trax Live experience.
Nice.
I went in August, my first ever Riff Trax Live deal. The watch they did Starship Troopers, and it was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun. I like Starship Troopers, but I thought they did a great job, telling jokes, and it was a very fun and jovial atmosphere, and I had a great time. This time I went to see them do Night of the Living Dead, and it was kind of diminishing returns. I don't know exactly why. I think it probably doesn't help that that's actually a good movie.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I like Starship Troopers as well. That's also a good movie, but it's a good fun movie. I think if you've got a movie that's fun, you can kind of get caught up in it.
Starship Troopers is campy.
Right.
It's like doing a riff tracks on Schindler's List or something.
You know? Something like that. It's like, right. I don't know. At some point,
I'd go to that.
At some point, it's hard for them not – if you have a movie that's good and kind of serious, kind of taking itself seriously, it's hard not to make jokes that sound like you're taking the movie down a peg. And I feel like Night of the Living Dead was too good for the jokes that they were telling. And there was a lot of points during the movie where I kind of just wanted to watch the movie. I didn't want to hear what they were saying.
Because it's not a good sign. Because really, you're suddenly like vying for entertainment value against Night of the Living Dead, you know? So it's like
right.
Your jokes or your observations or your presentation has to be more compelling than a classic horror movie. So
I don't know. It was the crowd generally liked it. I was a little put off by it. It was fine. It just wasn't anywhere near the experience I had the first time. I'll probably skip the next one when it comes around, just because I think I probably had the best Riff Trax live experience I'm going to have at this point.
But what if Riff Trax presents Voyage of the Rocky Aliens?
Well, obviously.
Okay. Riff Trax presents Punk Vacation?
Sure. I mean, granted, if they did Riff Trax live, presents Voyage of the Rocky Aliens, I probably would be in the same position where I'd be more interested in the movie because I haven't seen it in so long. Yes. I mean, how else are you going to see Voyage of the Rock Aliens?
That's true.
especially on the big screen. Can you imagine seeing Voyage of the Rock Aliens, a pristine 35mm print? I'm assuming it was shot at 35. It might have been 16 or 8 or 4.
On IMAX.
Whatever it was. Yeah, the IMAX 3D presentation, the 3D post-conversion of Voyage of the Rock Aliens.
But that could really be that really lend itself to an interactive Rocky Horror movie experience, don't you think?
It probably would. Then again,
I mean,
I don't know if our memories of the movie are faulty. Do you think it's not?
I think it's legit. I think it's legit.
That's fair. I mean, we did watch it like 7,000 times.
Yeah. I mean, like the thing about that movie was, there's something like it is like really dumb and but. It's kind of, Combine Man is timeless, right?
It does have great music. It does have a good energy. I think that it would definitely hold up, too.
I think it would definitely hold up. Definitely hold up. So, and someday maybe we all be able to enjoy it together.
Someday.
We should
kickstart that, right? That's something we can do, isn't it? I hear people talk about kickstarting things.
I think we should. Okay, all set, Eric? Anything else?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. I guess I'll just, I haven't gone in the theater, so I'll talk some TV. I've been really getting into the second season of Arrow. Really enjoying the CW's Arrow because it's. I'm just fascinated. They did some interesting stuff with it. They they're really kind of showing the progression. Now I don't know much about the Arrow mythology. Do you, Mac?
Some, yeah. It's not really. It's not a character I grew up with, but
yeah.
Kind of like in the 90s, 2000s when I got into DC in a big way. That's when I got into Green Arrow. So
yeah, so I didn't know much either. But it's you can tell they're really developing this interesting arc. So the first season he was this, just this vigilante, and he was killing guys. He was wiping guys out with his arrow, just like slaughtering guys, and it was almost like this. It's kind of detached from reality. Is he really earning all this carnage? Right, and the second season, they make a point in the fact that he has to own it and earn it, and what that means. And I don't know, they're just doing some interesting stuff as he kind of goes from vigilante to hero, And there's been a lot of DC a lot of DC call-ups here, like Black Canary. Yes, that ring a bell?
Yes. That's the love interest.
Yeah, Black Canary, and then we had a Ra's al Ghul name drop last episode. Deathstroke has been a large, like a large character, and obviously the Flash is, you know, is happening pretty soon. And then I guess Green Arrow had a sidekick, like the Red Arrow or something, but he's
Well, his original name was Speedy.
Speedy, right?
And then they gave him a much cooler name of Red Arrow.
That's rough. But he's been showing up too. So they've been doing a lot of that kind of mythology stuff. So I don't know. It's been the show I've been the closest to appointment viewing I can remember recently. And then lastly, Parks and Rec. I have to say, the mysterious hiatus, huh?
Yeah.
And
it's the NBC's way.
Yeah,
it's the NBC way. I mean, like, just kind of, and you know, I thought it's been pretty good. I think the stuff with Ron has been awesome. Like his will was great.
Yeah,
the great. Episode with his will. What do these symbols mean? The man who killed him. Great.
That was good.
But yeah, just
you
kind
were
of
obviously
weird.
Not the one to kill me.
I mean, I think the ratings have been dreadful. I think, but it's just kind of odd. It's kind of a critical darling, you know.
Yeah, it's. I think it has more to do with, and it may be misguided because we'll just see. But I think it has more to do with reintroducing community,
okay,
than it does actually having anything to do with Parks and Rec. Like they want to give like big Thursday night to the return of Parks and Rec and Community, and remember when we had a decent Thursday night lineup?
Gotcha.
Well, it's probably not that anymore. But here you go.
That's right. All right, so that's about it. Just been enjoying some of those standby shows, I suppose. So let's carry forth here, Mac. What stuff you got coming out for the site you want to – and the site is, of course, DVDverdict.com. So.
Yes, it's already up. I've did a pretty lengthy review on this movie. You ever seen Voyage of the Comet? No, Voyage of the Comet. I'm just thinking of Rock Aliens.
you got it on the
– I have seen that one, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about Night of the Comet. This bizarre 80s cult movie.
Yeah.
I don't know that I ever actually watched that, but I know of it. I don't know that I ever actually have sat down to watch it.
It's a real oddity. There's kind of no other movie like it. Basically, the comet flies by the Earth. It kills off everyone, turns all human beings into dust. There are only a handful of survivors. Two of the survivors are these two teenage girls, so what do? They go to the mall because everything's free now, and they have a big shopping spree. But wait, there are zombies, and so they've got to flee from the zombies, and they go to the secret government installation where there are scientists, and the scientists are up to no good, and then there's a bunch of chases and explosions, and then there's a big happy ending, and there's like lots of one-liners and rock music. It's hard to describe, is what I'm saying.
Sounds it.
Yeah, but no, it's fun, though, if you like sort of these real sort of movies that defy description, these sort of oddball gems. That's definitely what Night of the Comet is. So it's very, very 80s.
All right. Let's see. What do you got, Daryl?
Two things, and I'll be brief. The first is the George Romero oddity that is Knight Riders.
Yes, please explain.
So after Dawn of the Dead, George Romero wanted to do something different. And apparently he'd been at some place where – at some event where people on motorcycles were jousting. And he said, I got to make a movie about this. So he transformed – he basically extended the Camelot legend into this with Ed Harris and Tom Savini as – King Arthur and the Black Knight. And it's – now, you guys may, you know, feel differently about this stuff, but as I wrote in my review, if there is – if indeed we all get personal hells when we die,
yes,
mine will be a Renaissance fair.
Yeah, okay.
I'll see you there.
And so it's basically this – it's a 2-hour and 20-minute drama about a Renaissance fair before Renaissance fairs were really a thing.
Is that like a 2-hour, 20 minutes?
It's really long. That's and so it's everything that I've said up to this point makes it probably sound like I hate it. It's really quite good.
Oh,
It's really good. It's a good drama. It's a good extension of the Camelot myth. And we were talking about stunts with the Raid Redemption.
Yes.
There is some sick stunt work in this movie where people are getting blown off with, like, air. The seats have, like, pneumatics in them. And so they're getting – these stuntmen are getting blown off the motorcycles and falling on their heads.
Nice.
All in shot, you know, within the same shot. And it's really visceral in that way, and I can't argue with it. But, you know, it's too long. It gets kind of cheesy. Romero's able to make it exciting to watch idiots in armor on motorcycles ride around in circles. And so, you know, I've got to hand it to him for that. That's actually kind of interesting that way. Renaissance fair people and people who, and you know, people who love motorcycles will love this movie, but I don't love it. But
that is a narrow demographic.
I know. I've got a picture of that Venn diagram.
It is.
I'd love to be in a pitch meeting for that. So.
Lenny from Motorhead with like a feathered cap on.
We feel like there's an untapped resource of revenue again. The motorcycle enthusiasts and the Renaissance Fair attendee market. So.
The people who go to Ye Olde Sons of Anarchy.
Yes. Exactly. Those are the people that night riding is made for.
All right.
Teller good morrow.
Exactly.
That's all I got. Go ahead.
The other thing really quickly is a little tiny independent movie called To Jennifer that isn't great at all, but it is notable in that it's the first ever movie shot, edited, and distributed all on the iPhone 5.
Distributed even.
Yeah, it was done through, like, there was a standalone app for it.
Is this a good thing or a bad thing, dude?
It's an interesting thing. I'm really, you know, and have been for a long time, really interested in how people make movies on no money, which is why it kind of disgusts me when people talk about Ed Wood as the, you know, worst director ever made or ever born, because he's a guy who made terrible movies, obviously, but he was on very limited resources and actually made movies, and I respect that a hell of a lot more than I respect Battleship.
What?
I know. and so, you know, that's always frustrated me. But I'm always interested in how, especially with horror, because that's, you know, obviously my pet genre, but on how to make movies on nothing.
Yeah.
Like literally nothing. And it's the director, and as the director is a character, and he's the person behind the phone, the camera, whatever. The director of phonetography, I guess you might call him.
Nice.
The main character is a friend of his. And the only other real actor in the movie is another friend of theirs. And it's basically just three people who went on a drive and recorded the stuff on the iPhone and made a real movie out of it. And it's interesting enough to recommend, not because it does anything new with horror, but because unlike, say, like Cloverfield, where the found footage doesn't make any sense because you always have to ask the question, why don't you just put the damn camera down?
Exactly.
The whole premise of this movie is that they're making a movie on the iPhone. The premise is this guy thinks his girlfriend is cheating on him, and it's a long-distance relationship, and so he's going to film his journey out to catch her cheating on him and then give it to her on the back end. And it works out how it is. But the premise makes sense as to why he doesn't just put the phone down. It sort of all makes sense. And again, it's not great, but in using the technology and the absolutely minimal resources, it is unique in that way and notable.
Interesting.
It's interesting enough to watch. Not great. So, you know, don't put your expectations up too high for what it's going to deliver. But it's interesting.
All right. Okay. Eric?
Yep. Review is already up on the site, but last week I reviewed Monsters University, which is the sequel, I guess prequel, to Monsters Incorporated and the latest Pixar, kind of dipping back into the well that they've gotten some a lot of flack for in recent years. I really, really liked it. I thought it was a great movie. I know it seemed like it got a lot of – it got mixed reviews, I think, when it came out. I think a lot of people were down on it because, I think a lot of people are down on the Pixar sequels, some for good reasons, some not. I thought this worked really well. They didn't just try to do the same thing over again. They said it, when Mike and Sully are meeting in college, and it draws from a lot of really good, college movie tropes. It's got a central conceit of competing in something called the Scare Games, which has kind of a Goblet of Fire vibe I liked a lot. The characters that they added that are new for this movie I think are memorable and a lot of fun. It's a very funny movie, and it's gorgeous. Blu-ray especially, but they've come so far in the computer animation. This is probably one of the best looking Blu-rays I've ever seen. It's just stunning.
So do you think this movie got a raw deal?
I think so. I feel like it got decent enough reviews. I think people who dismissed it probably didn't give it a fair shake. I don't think it's as good as the first one, but I really, really – I mean, the first one's one of my favorite Pixar movies. I know it's not on top of everyone's list, but I really responded to the relationship between Sully and Boo in the first movie. This movie doesn't have that, so I guess that kind of takes it down a little bit. But I think they justified the changes that they made. Everything comes from the characters that they've already established. Nothing feels cheap. You're going to maybe know where things are going at times, but, it's a movie. You're probably going to know where things are going at times. I think it probably did. I hope it finds a bigger audience now on home video, because it definitely deserves it.
All right. Real quick for me, I guess Vikings on Blu-ray got a hold of this, the History Channel show that I was talking about when it was airing. Mm-hmm. Still a little bit of a frustrating show. It started out so strong, and then the story kind of went in odd disjointed ways and ended on one of the most dour notes I've ever seen a series end, a season, just so far from getting you that cliffhanger where you have to turn in. It was almost like, ooh, do I want to get depressed here? So it was, it's a, to your point about gorgeous looking stuff though, this is a beautiful set, which they did all their shooting middle, actual Viking land. So, the cinematography is gorgeous and the settings are beautiful. It's a great looking set. The episodes are actually extended and unrated. So, they actually flaunt their unrated too. So that's kind of an interesting thing. So I don't know, well-made show, but just the plot, the characters are kind of cool, but the plot just kind of meandered towards the end and got a little weird. So, I'm pretty much a sucker for any Viking-related content. So, I think it'd be worth checking out. So if you cross paths with it, like if it shows up, Eric in the Magic Library of Magic.
Absolutely. Just Hogwarts. I got a Hogwarts library.
That's true. I really think they have one of those – help me out here, Mac, in Star Trek. What do they make the food out of? What's the things
the replicator.
Yes, they must have those. You just go there and you just – to your library and say, I want Halo 4, and it shows up. So anyway, but I would be worth checking
I think they
out.
Call that the internet.
They do.
Internet. Loose internet. Morals.
Loose morals. That's right. Poor ethics.
Right.
Still, though, a strong show, something I'll keep an eye on possibly for next year, but just kind of went weird ways. Okay. Let's keep pushing forward here, Mac. Who do we got next up?
All right, let's take a look at what's coming out next week on DVD and Blu-ray, and you at home can follow along. We're going to go to DVDverdict.com, click on the upcoming DVD releases tab, and then we'll scroll down and hit the link for the cover art gallery for November 5th. Just talk about whatever we see on the list here.
So the first thing that I see, actually 13-13-13 is directed by the same guy that did To Jennifer, the iPhone movie. So that's... Right. Anyway, but the first thing I actually notice is the Blu-ray for A Christmas Story, a movie I love but am really concerned about Bob Clark before he died and his bizarre attitudes toward Christmas, given this and Black Christmas.
Yeah, sure. Well, I tell you what jumps out at me, kids. Saved by the Bell, the complete collection.
No way.
Ooh, how many discs is that?
That's it. $42, and Amazon has got full 5 stars right away.
Well, that's because you reviewed it 7 times.
That's true. Okay. 13 discs, 2,268 minutes.
Yeah, here's the question, Dave. Could you watch, if you were given this to review, could you watch all 2,200 minutes in 1 week?
Or... Wow,
that's a math problem at some point, isn't it?
I guess I don't know.
No job or nothing like that. If you could just bowl through it, could you stomach 2,200 minutes over 7 days?
I definitely did it. Cumulative over my life, I'm sure. Many times.
Over 7 days.
I know. I
think it sounds like the spirit is willing, but the space-time continuum is
correct. Right. Look, with the kids, I'm dealing with about an hour and a half of free time each night, so sure. I'm not sure if I can devote that much.
All distractions gone.
I don't know if I can devote that much time to shows I've watched probably 20 times over. Now, the real question is, what seasons do these contain? You know, I'm not sure.
It says complete, right?
Complete. I mean, are we talking like the new class, or is that a different show? I guess?
That's a different show.
You think so?
It's a different show. Sure, yeah.
So we're talking about.
Yeah, in the editorial review, it says go back to Bayside High School.
Okay.
So it's not gonna take like the early stuff. It's not gonna take the really late stuff.
All right.
Yeah, I bet. I wouldn't be surprised if Miss Bliss isn't even in there.
You're right. And a major missed opportunity in the packaging. I mean, don't you, like, at least put this in a giant bottle of caffeine pills or something? Like, package it. Give me a different packaging. I don't know. Or it's got to be Zach's phone, right?
This seems like
giant cell phone package.
Maybe. It seems like they're kind of doing this on the cheap. If it's only 13 discs.
Good point. You think they just took all the –
yeah, like 30
they just bundled
episodes
all the old releases already probably, yeah.
Yeah, I think – see, the 30 episodes a disc or each one's just a DVD-ROM that you can just – they just have the raw files on there you can load onto your computer.
That's right. Yeah. But don't you think, like, honestly, don't you think they'd move items if they put a little bit of thought and creativity into it? Like, if you had a Zach Morris replica phone that contained all these discs and some never-before-seen features, that would move product, don't you think?
I think so.
That'd be pretty interesting.
I mean, as sad as the commentaries it would be on human society, I mean.
The only people who are buying these discs are people who are the cult of this show.
True.
No, I mean, maybe there's like one or two grandmas out there who think that their 14-year-old son or daughter would really like this awesome high school-y show. But they're wrong, and they aren't the driving force of who's buying this stuff.
I think we also live in a world that's unfair when it comes to home video releases. We live in a world where a community has never seen a Blu-ray release.
Correct.
For instance.
Correct. Correct.
And although, to our luck, the season 4 of Community will get the first and only Blu-ray release.
That's true.
It's already out.
What else? What else is on here? Sorry, we.
Yeah, another complete collection, Dexter.
Yeah.
And there you go. That's what you're looking for.
Yeah, that one's the same as the replica.
There you go.
Slide box and all that stuff.
Yeah, and the Doctor, and right next to it is the Doctor Who. That's got a sonic screwdriver and a whole bunch of garbage attached to it.
You know, I'm two seasons behind on Dexter.
I'm the same place you are.
Yeah,
I kind of lost steam. I'll check him out at some point.
I'm not sure why I'm not either. I'm not even super compelled to go track it down either. So we'll see.
I liked season 7. I'm kind of in the minority there, but I thought it was pretty good.
Right. See, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I saw on the news that Netflix is getting Dexter in its entirety.
All right, there you go.
So there you go.
Nice. See, right next to it is that Larry David HBO film, Clear History. Where Larry David plays Larry David playing Larry David and Kirby's Enthusiasm playing Larry David. So, if you catch up with it. It's got its moments for sure, but it was, wasn't fantastic.
Yeah. This is the week of Dave. Week for Dave. We got the Hobbit Extended Edition.
That's true, the Hobbit Extended Edition, which I've extolled my love for this movie. So if it doesn't end up as a review, I will pursue it for sure. Yeah, it is. I mean, what did I...
7.5 hours long, I've heard. That's not true. I made that up. I don't know. How long is it?
Actually, good point.
I don't know, because the movie itself is pretty long.
Somebody get the intern on it. I was 3 hours dead.
3 hours, yeah.
So this one's 182, meaning What's that, 2 minutes extra? No.
No, it's 22 minutes extra.
It is?
I don't know. Isn't three?
I thought the first Hobbit was actually three hours, but maybe not.
Well, so it's that, a five so disc DVD. Jeez Louise.
So that's like 30 hours.
That's good. I gotcha. Anyway. Oh, wait, what is it? Wait, this is okay. Never mind.
Right, we got anything season else? Of Under the Dome, the Stephen King series on cable.
Yeah,
I watched two of those.
I never saw it, but my dad really thinks I'll like it. I guess I want to ask people who have more savvy with this sort of thing if it's a show that's worth watching.
Hey, that's not the Telly Savalas documentary? Waka waka
sing!
Hey, Scrooged on Blu-ray.
Yeah? Scrooged on Blu-ray, yeah.
Nice.
All right. Let's cap this phase. Inevitably, see some DVD release of the week. Mac.
Let's see. How about Pat Labor?
Right. Eric.
Giant.
Good. Daryl.
I'm going to go with Syrup.
That's good. See, I'll go with Rise of the Guardians, I guess. Okay, or Pound Puppies, but not.
is there a subtitle on that one?
Do you not want to know?
That's absolutely the winner.
Okay, so let's move on to something hopefully more cleaner and more, you know, less morally reprehensible. That is our Ambush Topic segment. You know how this works. So, Mac, why don't you kick us off? Go for it.
Okay, well, it's the last hurrah for Scary Movie Month here, so we'll go with Creepy Dolls.
Good. How about I'm going to go with the doll that Susan has. George's fiance Susan has the doll that looks just like Mrs. Costanza. So, yeah, so I thought that's quite creepy, I would say.
I'm going to go with the Norwegian troll doll that Pierce Hawthorne gives to Troy Barnes in the Chaos Theory episode of Community.
That's right.
Boy, I hate to go for an obvious one, but I'm going to go with the doll in The Conjuring.
All right, that's not obvious to me. So
very well, it's obvious.
I don't get the reference.
But it was the first thing that came to my mind, but I'd already talked about it.
I figured so. Either that or speaking of Telly Savalas, the doll, the Tiny Tina doll from the Twilight Zone episode where Telly Savalas was the man who was killed by the doll.
Ah, good.
Sorry, spoilers for that.
Okay, I'll let that slide. It's to you, Mac, then?
Oh, back to me already? I rewatched the Charles Band, I believe it's Charles Band movie. It's just simply called Dolls.
It's
an 80s horror movie, and it's surprisingly good. All of the creepy dolls come to life through stop-motion animation. You know, I love the stop-motion, and doing it that way instead of the usual way with puppetry really made the movie have a whole different look and a different feel to it, so I really liked it. It was really cool.
I really love the poster for that movie.
Yeah, really creepy.
With the doll with the disembodied eyes. Yeah. Or the missing eyes and like whatever white is always really effective to me. Cool movie.
All right, Eric, go ahead.
All right. Also on the scary movie, a tip: surprisingly scary.
Surprisingly scary.
So things that might maybe not should be scary, but are pretty scary.
Okay.
All right. I'm without spoilers because Dave is still missing the boat on this thing. I am going to go with the third to last episode, Ozymandias Rising, of Breaking Bad, which horrified me in the way that only Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer ever had before.
All right.
I am totally blanking on that.
I obviously have nothing for it.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. But that reference is going to land with somebody, so.
It's a horrifying episode of television.
Okay, well, I thought it was a nice little, I thought it was a nice touch, the movie Passion of the Christ, obviously the controversial popular Mel Gibson tale of the crucifixion, there's some interesting cameos from the demonic hordes in that film. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but have you seen, you know what I'm talking about? So, like, all of a sudden, I can't remember what the scene specifically, but a legit demon just kind of pokes out of the shadows. And
yeah, there's five or six little bits of that. And which I always found very strange in that movie. But
yeah, it was strange. I understand the point, though. And I thought it was – I thought it was a little – it knocked you off your – you know, knocked you off your balance a little bit. So I thought it was – as far as demons go, I thought it was well done. And then runner-up would be the dead kid in Three Men and a Baby, of course.
Yes. let's see. For me, I would go back to animation. It's not very well known, but in the 80s there was this claymation movie that was The Adventures of Mark Twain.
One of the greatest movies ever made.
I
liked it a lot.
And Mark Twain and the two little kids are going on a whimsical adventure, and you know it's all very bright and colorful and cotton candy, and it's colorful and whimsical, and everybody's happy. And then their little hot air balloon that they're on lands on this really dark planet, and there's this creepy guy standing there who introduces himself as Satan, and he goes on this speech about the faults of mankind. And in the sand, he builds up this civilization in the sand with all the little sand people walking around, and then he creates a cataclysm that like kills off all the cute little sand people, and then Mark Twain and the kids leave him there with just this creepy close up of Satan's face filling the whole screen.
Nice.
And then they continue on their whimsical adventures.
It's really weird. It's like Mark Twain as Doctor Who.
Yeah, really.
It's very strange sounding.
I don't know,
it's The Adventures of Mark Twain.
Yeah, and I don't know if that scene is in the cut, but that movie's on Netflix. Instant.
Are there versions of it about it?
I feel like I remember growing up seeing it on the Disney Channel, and I think that was not on there. But
I feel like
that was considered to be a lost scene or something. So who knows?
Hmm. Anyway. Interesting.
All right, back to me.
Yep.
All right. One of the movies I watched this month for the first time was The Haunting, 1963, I think, 64. Black and white horror movie, very effective, and famous for never actually showing you what's doing the haunting. It never actually shows you the ghosts or creatures or whatever. There's one scene where women are in the bedroom. They know that something is out in the hallway, and it just makes this relentless banging noise, this loud, pressing banging noise, and it's really very scary, even though it's just a loud noise. I thought that was very effective.
Very nice.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
All right, I will go next. Freakishly Long Appendages.
Okay. All right, well, I'm going to go with a strange little movie called Bad Biology.
That does sound like a band name, doesn't it? I mean, we like to joke about band names, but that sounds like a legitimate band name.
It's by a director named Frank Henenlotter, who people might know or probably don't from Basket Case and Frankenhooker and various other extremely low-budget things. And he took a 17-year break from directing movies and came back with Bad Biology. And it involves it's a horror romance featuring a woman with killer nether regions and a man with a nether region, with a giant nether region with a mind of its own.
Oh,
jeez.
And it's fun as all get out.
All right. I will take your word for it.
I think that is officially the term nether region has been used on this podcast.
I think so.
Twice. I think twice is the new record.
Let's see. Over the last couple of months, I've been really immersing myself in all things relating to the Dark Crystal. I've been looking for all the collectibles and the books and stuff. And that's my latest thing with my collection. And, of course, you have the Skeksis in the Dark Crystals, and they've got those long, bony skeleton fingers, all the better to scare you when they're reaching and clawing at those poor, hopeless little gelflings.
Nice.
Okay, I'm not sure this counts as an appendage, but it's a body part, so I'll go with it.
Yes.
I recently watched, for the first time I think since high school, Army of Darkness.
Yeah.
After watching Evil Dead 2 and loving Evil Dead 2, I feel like I must have seen it at some point, but it had been so long I'd forgotten. I had a lot of fun with that. Army of Darkness, not quite as fun as Evil Dead 2, but still a lot of fun. And now there's a scene where, speaking of the Book of the Dead, Ash is trying to pick the right one on the graveyard table there, and he opens one, and it's like a vortex that begins sucking his face down into it, and he pulls his face out, and it's his long chin and nose and such. So.
Nice. Good gap. Anyway,
chin. At that point, a chin is an appendage.
It becomes appendage, yes.
It's appendage.
Bruce Campbell, it is.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to go with Jonas, the little sidekick to Viggo the Carpathian in Ghostbusters 2, and he dresses up like a nursemaid, flies his carriage, and uses a weird long ghost arm to grab the baby off the ledge. Do you remember that, Ghostbusters 2? Yeah. It was all those words I just said don't seem to make any sense, but they were actually happening in the movie. All right, so I lost count. Who's going to – Daryl, is it you to finish
just,
it off?
Yeah, just me. So I was thinking there's a something that I – it wasn't a rediscovery, but something that I watched recently. So led me to think about a movie that you basically feel like nobody knows that everybody should.
Nobody knows that everybody should.
Something completely obscure – it could be a TV show too. I don't care, but something completely obscure that that you really love, and that's really really worth watching out there.
Oh, wow. Just a personal recommendation from us.
Yeah,
an overlooked gem or a gem.
Like It's just a crazy oddity, which is what mine is, I guess.
All right. Okay. Okay. All right, I guess I have to go with probably my, one of my all-time favorite terrible 80s movies, and straight up inadvertently terrible, so you can have much fun laughing at it. And I did review it for the site, but it's called Body Rock, starring Lorenzo Lamas.
Nice.
It is a breakdancing movie, and it is fantastic. I really can't – as far as just ridiculous, Lorenzo Lamas plays a street thug who dresses up literally like a clown. Like the 80s outfits they give him look like he's a clown. But apparently it's the cool fashion, and he gets sucked into to getting his own show, and the fame and power goes to his head, and he loses track of his crew, and he gets involved in drugs, and it's one of those rags to riches to rags story, but where he finds out who he is at the end. But wow, is it just, it needs to be seen to be believed. So check out my Body Rock review on DVD.
We've already mentioned Voyage of the Rock of the Aliens.
Yeah, yeah, really. Where do you go from there?
I know.
I mean, well, that's obviously the correct answer.
Yeah. Well, this one's not obscure, although I'm guessing not as many people have seen it as Daryl certainly has, I'm sure. Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a movie that I remember. Fun. Yeah, I remember seeing the VHS cover art for at the rental store when I was a kid and thinking it looked terrifying, not seeing it until a few years ago and just loving it. It's a lot of fun and not necessarily what it looks like it would be.
No, it's a ton of fun.
Yeah.
I recommend that totally, very highly. It's still Killer Clowns from Outer Space, so,
Yeah,
with a grain of salt, but it's a lot of fun. That's a cool movie.
It's a great movie because everyone really commits to the bit, They do it so without necessarily winking to the audience.
And one of several really effective horror movies done by special effects artists, in that case, the Kyoto Brothers. And another one I watched this month I may have mentioned on the show, Pumpkinhead, Stan Winston's movie.
Right.
I expected Pumpkinhead nothing from that, and I really loved it. So.
Yeah, it's good.
Let's see, from television, I was just thinking about this show the other day. It was a late 80s TV series. It was really short-lived. It was kind of in the quirky detective genre called Probe. It was kind of half detective, half science fiction, where the eccentric genius who lived in his laboratory, his bed was like underneath the cabinet to save space. It was one of his many quirks. And he would just run around. He would solve sort of various science-based murders and would always have these really outrageous sci-fi outcomes as to who the killer was. And it was really funny, really smart, really well-written. And also, what's notable about it was co-created by famous sci-fi author Isaac Asimov. It was like one of the co-producers. And only like 8 episodes, I think, were produced. And I'm still waiting for that DVD, but it's never been released. So, fun show that kind of nobody saw, was way under the radar. Nice.
All right.
That's so me?
Yep.
All right. So mine is what winds up probably being my favorite comedy of all time. And like Max, it's never seen an official DVD release. The only reason I have it is that I contacted the director and got his got him to burn me a copy from his SVHS master.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
I'm impressed.
That's impressive.
He's a very personable guy. His name is Trent Harris, and the movie is called Reuben and Ed, and stars Crispin Glover and Howard Hessman, and in a small supporting role, Karen Black. And how he got Howard Hessman and Karen Black, I have no idea. It's from about 1989, and it's a buddy comedy about Reuben Farr, Crispin Glover, who cons Ed, who's Howard Hessman, into taking him out to the desert to find the right place to bury his cat.
Okay.
And do any of you remember the incident with Crispin Glover getting kicked off the David Letterman show?
Oh, sure.
That – what he was doing there was the Reuben Farr character. Likewise, he released an album the same year called the what's it called? It's called the Big Problem Is Not the Solution. The Solution Is Let It Be. And it's a bizarre album, and likewise wrote a couple of books, which is also an extension of the album. And it's and he does the Reuben Farr character on the album, and it's an impossible movie to explain. It is singularly bizarre. Features some of the worst misappropriated sayings I've ever heard. Has terrible wigs. And is absolutely the most hilarious movie I know. And if you can find it, watch it. It's
what's it called again?
Reuben and Ed. I just watched it last week because I was going to lend it to somebody and hadn't watched it in probably 7 or 8 years. And it was delightful to watch again.
Nice.
Brilliant. Brilliant stuff.
Nice. All right. And with that said, we are done with this edition of the Friday Filibuster. A nice hour-long episode packed with, I don't know.
All manner of nothing.
All right, right. That's good. Yeah. Pat, I'm glad you said that. So good euphemism for what I was going to say. But anyway, it was a good time, well spent, with good friends and pints all around. So thank you for tuning in. Friday Filibuster at DVDverdict.com is the email address. Have a great weekend. Mac, take us away.
Tell Babs to stop using that industrial strength hairspray.